Boeing may yet beat Airbus in 2007 sales. Garmin says it's discontinuing the GNS 480. And Eclipse gets high-tech help preparing maintenance support materials. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, January 4th, 2008. As the final tallies are prepared for sales for 2007, it's no longer a foregone conclusion that Airbus will take the airliner sales trophy. Boeing reports it finished the year with a flurry of orders. As ANN reported yesterday, Boeing closed a 12-plane deal with Vietnam Airlines for the 787 Dreamliner. But it now says it also completed a 100-plane deal with Dubai Aerospace Enterprise on New Year's Eve, and Brazil's Gol confirmed it will order 40 more 737s, with options for another 40. That would appear to boost Boeing's 2007 total to 1,398, by far a company record for a single year. The most recent Airbus numbers show 1,204 gross orders. That includes options and letters of intent through the end of November. That does not include Airbus's own 100-plane deal with DAE, which was likely finalized before the end of the year. Boeing was expected to reveal its official tally this week. Airbus will release its official 2007 sales numbers on January 16th. The worst fears of a small but loyal group of owners have been confirmed. Garmin International has announced to its dealers it will discontinue the GNS 480 GPS COM. Garmin says when the GNS 480 was introduced at AirVenture 2004, it was the first Gamma 3 WAS certified GPS COM. It offered a surprising level of features for its size, including hookups for a traffic advisory system and a basic flight management system that also displays Victor Airways. The 480 was also the first integrated GPS navigator approved to fly LPV glide slope approaches without reference to ground-based nav aids. Despite its features, the GNS 480 became superfluous within the Garmin lineup when the immensely popular GNS 430 and GNS 530 got WAS capability. Eclipse Aviation has its earliest roots in the technology sector and continues to exploit its expertise there. Eclipse announced on Thursday it will use a software suite from Right Hemisphere to develop illustrated instructions from the original 3D computer-aided design of the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet. The software will help Eclipse generate manufacturing and maintenance procedures for use at its production facilities in Albuquerque and its service centers in the U.S. Right Hemisphere's fully integrated software suite is already used by over 500 companies and will translate the Eclipse 500's complex design into interactive production instructions. Right Hemisphere is a privately held, venture-funded corporation founded in 1997, based in Silicon Valley and Auckland, New Zealand. Reuters is quoting an executive at China Aviation Industry Corp. II in a report that the nation's two state-owned aviation units, commonly called AVIC 1 and AVIC 2, will be restructured to improve global competitiveness. While an exact timetable is not clear, the source told Reuters, quote, "A restructuring plan will certainly be announced sometime this year," unquote. AVIC 1 is currently developing China's first domestic regional jet and hopes eventually to challenge Boeing and Airbus. AVIC 2's focus is on smaller planes and helicopters. The two units are not rigidly defined, however. AVIC 1, the big plane company, was chosen to build Cessna's light sport aircraft, the 162 Skycatcher. The China Daily said the restructuring is aimed at pooling resources to build a large commercial aircraft, with one plan envisioning the formation of a new company. Consolidation in the name of global competitiveness would be somewhat ironic. When AVIC was originally split into Units 1 and 2 in July of 1999, that move also was attributed to a need to be more competitive. Up next on ANN, 2007 was a safer year for aviation worldwide. Pakistan frees Palestinian hijackers who killed 22 passengers. And Boeing submits its final bid to build the KCX tanker for the U.S. Air Force. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 4th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. In the U.S., the FAA has been calling 2007 a year of progress in aviation safety. And now an independent watchdog group is saying the same for the world. The Geneva-based Aircraft Crashes Record Office told the Associated Press 2007 saw the lowest number of crashes in 44 years, but some countries, including the Democratic Republic of Congo, Indonesia, and Colombia, are lagging in safety improvement. ACRO says there were 136 serious accidents in 2007. That's the fewest since 1963. Fatalities totaled 965. That's down 25% from a year ago. Most crashes involve small propeller-driven planes, but larger jets accounted for more fatalities due to their passenger capacities. The most lethal individual accident last year was the July 17th crash in Brazil of a TAM jetliner, which hit a building in Sao Paulo, killing 199. International Air Transport Association spokesman Anthony Consul told the AP that some parts of the world still have a long way to go on safety, noting the loss of over 120 lives last year in two separate accidents in Indonesia and Africa's continuing poor safety record. China, on the other hand, is preserving an enviable safety record despite the explosive growth of the airline industry there. IATA credits strict regulation. As for most improved, Consul notes that Russia went from worst in the league to the best by implementing a series of safety measures based on IATA standards. Despite the best efforts of the U.S. Congress to provide incentives to crack down on terrorists, Pakistani authorities Thursday freed four Palestinians convicted in the 1986 hijacking of a Pan Am jet in Karachi that killed 22 passengers and crew. An official who requested anonymity said the men were released after completing their jail terms and deported to the Palestinian territories. Their alleged leader, a Palestinian named Zayed Hassan Abd al-Atif Masoud al-Safarini, was intercepted by U.S. authorities in 2001 and is serving three consecutive life terms plus 25 years in prison. The five hijacked a Pan Am 747 as it sat at Karachi Airport, waiting to fly to Frankfurt, Germany, demanding the release of 1,500 Palestinian prisoners held in Israel and Cyprus. That standoff ended when Pakistani commandos stormed the plane. Court records show 22 people were killed, more than 100 wounded by the hijackers, using gunfire and grenades. Boeing announced on Thursday it has submitted its final proposal for the U.S. Air Force's KC-135 tanker replacement program. Jim Albaugh, president and CEO of Boeing Integrated Defense Systems, said, quote, "We believe the KC-767 advanced tanker will be evaluated as the most capable, technologically advanced, and affordable tanker for America," unquote. Boeing was actually awarded the contract to supply a replacement for the aging KC-135 fleet back in 2004. Then, the Pentagon discovered that former Air Force Chief Negotiator Darlene Dryan accepted a job as a Boeing VP before that deal was consummated. The contract award was tossed out and heads rolled. Bidding began anew last year and has boiled down to Boeing's KC-767 versus Eads and Northrop Grumman with their KC-30. Boeing says its proposal for the KC-767-AT is tailored to meet or exceed all the Air Force's mission requirements and do it better and cheaper than the KC-30, which Boeing pointedly calls oversized. One of the selling points of the KC-30 is the fact it's already in production and used by other nations, which means its tooling and supply chain are proven. This week, one more order for the multi-use aircraft drove home that point. The Royal Saudi Air Force will acquire Eads A330 multi-role tanker transport, equipped with Eads' centerline-mounted air refueling boom system and a pair of underwing hose and drogue refueling pods. That configuration is similar to one specified by the Royal Australian Air Force and proposed for the Northrop Grumman KC-30. The Saudi decision follows previous purchases by U.S. allies Australia, Great Britain, and the United Arab Emirates. To date, more than 900 sales have been logged for variations on the A330, including the military tanker transports, the new A330-200F freighter, and civilian airliners. Still ahead, U.S. Airways holiday performance incentives for employees miss the mark. ASF tells us how to reduce pilot error fatals by 80%. And handicappers at NASA revise the odds for an asteroid's Mars encounter. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, January 4th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. An incentive program announced by U.S. Airways in November, intended to motivate workers to improve the carrier's atrocious on-time and mishandled luggage ratings over the holidays, failed to deliver the goods. USA Today reports the carrier's Holiday Hustle program did not achieve its goals of 60% on-time departures and fewer than 7 bags out of 1,000 mishandled. As ANN reported, the airline said it would pay its roughly 36,000 employees $50 per employee for each of those goals. U.S. Airways this week conceded the airline had a 58.5% on-time rating and 7.43 bags per 1,000 reported mishandled through November and December. Mike Flores, president of the U.S. Airways chapter of the Association of Flight Attendants, called the proposed $100 bonus an insult in light of the millions of dollars awarded to the airline's top executives. He also noted that much of the carrier's workforce continues to work without new labor contracts. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's Air Safety Foundation says it has identified the 5 most common mistakes made by pilots in fatal general aviation accidents. ASF Executive Director Bruce Landsberg says, if we could just stop making those few mistakes, fatal accidents caused by pilot error would drop 80%. And he's here to help. Quote, year after year, we continue to see pilots making the same mistakes that lead to fatalities. Our seminar offers valuable information that may just save the lives of some of our attendees, unquote. He's talking about the top 5 mistakes pilots make. That's a seminar that begins its nationwide tour on Monday night in Reno. Attendees at the 2-hour seminar will get a copy of the Air Safety Foundation's Joseph T. Null Report, which describes the latest accident trends and factors for general aviation. This program also qualifies attendees insured through AOPA for the Accident Forgiveness Program. There's been another tweak made to the odds that asteroid streaking toward Mars will actually hit the planet. Asteroid 2007 WD5 was first discovered in November and drew attention because its orbit passes close to Earth. A danger of impact here was ruled out, but odds of hitting Mars on January 30th were put at 1 in 75, then updated to 1 in 25. Now, the official line is 1 in 28. The slight downgrade was made by scientists at NASA on Thursday after reviewing new observations from the Magdalena Ridge Observatory in New Mexico. It's thought that asteroid strikes of this magnitude on Mars happen about every 1,000 years. The last one on Earth is thought to have been a 1908 event in which an asteroid became superheated as it entered our atmosphere at Mach 60 over Siberia, disintegrating and creating an explosion which leveled trees for 60 miles. Finally, if you question whether the barriers to experiencing the wonders of spaceflight are really coming down, consider the story of Danner Cronus. He's become the youngest person ever to experience a zero-G flight at the age of 8. Quote, the flight was so cool. I was floating and flipping just like the astronauts in space. I showed my friends pictures, and they all want to go now too. Can I do it again next week? Unquote. Danner was joined by his father, Ray, a NASA engineer for more than 15 years and a co-founder of Zero G. Also along for the ride were sisters Erin and Alex, ages 10 and 12. Danner and his sisters join Martha Stewart, Professor Stephen Hawking, Amy Grant, Burt Rutan, and other notable passengers who've taken zero-G's parabolic flights on board a specially equipped Boeing 727. At the rate commercial aerospace is growing, zero-gravity experiences may one day become as accessible as theme parks. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell and Rob Finfrock comment on the top aviation stories of 2007. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.